Good afternoon. I'm Linda Dow. It's a pleasure to welcome freelance writer, educator, and author Patty Lefkos. Patty's latest offering is a memoir set in the 1950s in South Frontenac, and it tells of family connection and personal resilience and the lifelong skills that came from those experiences. Patty, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here, Linda.
So tell us about your background and why you believe your story will be of interest to our listeners.
Well, I'm right now sitting at my current desk in my own cottage on Loon Island on Draper Lake, which is just south of Frontenac Park, the family farm joins the park. And every summer, I spent 2 months on this island in the old cottage, before that in a tent. And I think the experience that we had as a family, my brother and sister and I staying on the island with mom and a dog, no electricity, I think really is similar to what a lot of people had for cottage experiences in those days. We were extremely lucky, just that my dad got this island as a wedding present. And I think grandpa bought it from another farmer for $25 in the 30s. So it's the luck of the draw. I'm a lucky person. And my full name, just to let you know, is Patty Shales Lefkos, and we live at the end of Shales Road. So the two family Shales farms are still in existence, owned by family members. And various Shales are scattered all around the islands and the lake and the shoreline. So it's a fabulous place to be. Back when I was little, we were known as the kids from the island. There were no other residents on the islands and very few on the shore. So Mom really had to make sure we could all swim before we could stay, because it's very deep off the edge of our island. And, we started in a tent and then in a very simple cottage. But we had each other and we had a lot of fun outside. And, we learned so many skills. We learned And then that I took for granted until just recently. We learned to row and paddle and swim and fish and clean our own fish. And didn't matter, brother or sister, boy or girl, we all learned to do all those things. So
right. And I want to get, you talk about that a little bit more later, but I just wanted to talk about the title of your memoir and how that relates to the area of Frontenac.
Oh, well, grounded by granite. Yes, it's part of the Canadian Shield. Granite is a big grounding force, I would say, in the Canadian Shield. And our island is mostly, it's a granite rock with, of course, a thin layer of soil, loads of trees. But that goes right through Frontenac Park up to Algonquin Park. And it just, for me, is solid ground that I was born to and I'm able to come to every summer. So it really gives us a foundation, really, for our family. Mm-hmm.
And so the name grounded too, that word, the double meaning in grounded there. So how did growing up in the 50s influence who you are today?
I think a lot of it was lack of technology. We had to be inventive and find games to play with each other. I also was very close to my brother and sister. I'm still close to my brother. He's 81, living on his island for the summer. We had to make our own fun, and we had to take care of each other and also be strong enough to, row the boat over to get some ice from the ice house at the farm, and row over to another great aunt's place to get bread, because mom didn't have a stove, she didn't have electricity. So we really learned a great deal and we're very close because of it.
So the skills that you learned then, how did they help you in who you are today and what you do today, those skills that you learned back then?
Sure. I think they made me very confident that I could tackle just about anything. And that has stood me in good stead for my career as an inner city educator in Vancouver. And also, you know, post-retirement, I went to journalism school when I was 60. It never dawned on me that I couldn't do it just because I was a bit older.
My and goodness, when you were 60, you started journalism school. That's incredible.
Yes. Well, I was 10 when I declared I'd be a writer, but I kind of got waylaid into being a teacher and principal for a few years. And I loved that career. But I always wanted to be a writer and I wanted to have some good skills. So I went for a year-long post-grad course at Langara University in Vancouver with all the 23-year-olds. It was really fun. And then I set out to travel and be an adventure travel writer. And I, along the way teaching, married a mountaineer. So I ended up being married to someone who would do lots of outdoor things. So we have paddled up north on the Yukon River. We've skied all over North America. We live at a ski resort in the winter. And now we do a lot of work in Nepal after putting together a lot of trekking and also our love of education. We've supported a village. We built a school in a village that was ruined in the earthquake in 2015.
Okay.
But all of that gave me the strength to tackle new things.
Right.
That it's okay to be uncomfortable. You know, you've been doing good things.
You've done so much, and I want to get into that in a little bit more detail in a few minutes, but your writing has appeared in different magazines, your articles, Time Magazine, and that sort of thing. Talk a little bit about that outdoor magazine.
It was really, you know, when I first started sending things to magazines, it was pretty scary. I had some good, you know, I got some good skill training, certainly at journalism school, but They used to say that if you made 20% of your pitches came back positive, you were doing well. And I was running about 25%. So I did okay. I started with regional magazines, the Okanagan Living magazine, Okanagan Life, sorry. And there was one called Okanagan Woman. Started out with those. And then I branched out to the States and I wrote for the San Francisco Chronicle for a while, because I'd been to a conference down there and met the editor of the travel section. And finally I got into the Globe and into Maclean's. So it was a real progression. You know, I think
incredible.
I like to think I got better.
You know, you talk in your book about strength and resilience. How important are those qualities in today's world?
Well, for me, they're huge, because I want to keep doing things. I want to keep active and keep having adventures, but also making a contribution in developing countries. So you have to have strength and resilience. And I don't know, today, because there's so many negative issues and connotations out there in the world and difficulties with, you know, with politics, of course, that you have to be strong in yourself. And if you can do that and help others, it makes a huge difference. Say volunteering. You can volunteer in, you know, in your neighborhood, or you can volunteer in another country, in another side of the world. Mm-hmm. Everybody can make a difference if they have that strength.
But, you know, it's a different world now. And, mm-hmm. and not everyone had the pleasure, or should I say privilege even, of growing up in the 50s, let alone spending summers on a remote island like you have done. And so, you know, I'm wondering how we can adapt those lessons that you've learned to life in the 21st century.
I would really encourage parents, for one, as this is my teacher part coming out, to turn off the computer and the television once in a while, and don't give your kids a phone too early. We have friends who have three children. Their mother is an elementary school teacher, and they were never allowed more than 10 minutes tablet time at home. And they are outdoor kids. This is a family with not a lot of money, but they spend a lot of time outdoors and they spend a lot of time with each other. They also fight, you know, they're normal kids, but they have great imaginations because they're allowed the time to do it. I really think it's huge to be able to give kids that time to daydream and have fun and with their parents. not read aloud on a tablet, but sit down and cozy up with a book together with your mom or your dad.
Communication is what you're talking about.
I guess, yeah, time together. Mm-hmm. Family mm-hmm. board games. I think the board games are kind of making a comeback, I've seen, and that's family time together.
And you also encourage adults to step outside their comfort zone. Talk about that for a minute as well. That's one of your missions, right? In writing Grounded by Granite?
Yes, and the other book, Nepal One Day at a Time, sure. You know, the places that I travel alone and with my husband are not always comfortable. You know, the bathrooms are outside and are sometimes squat toilets in Asia. And, you know, the bedrooms aren't the Ritz-Carlton. And, you know, I love a good hotel just like anyone else. And when I've been trekking for 25 days, I love to go to a good hotel and have a good hot shower and have my laundry done and everything. But I also would not miss those incredible opportunities to meet people and to experience other cultures and to find out that everybody in the world is just the same. And you can't always do that unless you get out of your comfort zone.
And it's facing your fears. Does that have a lot to do with it as well?
Oh, sure. When the first time I went to Nepal by myself, I was quite afraid. But I just sat down and I listed all of the things that I thought were the worst case scenario. And then I figured ways that I would take care of them. You know, and that sounds easy. It took a few months to figure it all out. But you just have to, I don't know. If you let your fears control you, you'll never do anything interesting, I think.
I'm speaking with Patty Elefkos. She's our guest, and she's talking about her book, Grounded by Granite. Getting back to why did you choose Nepal? Now, you have a hike coming up that you're training for. You're also supporting, with proceeds from your book, you're supporting a school in Nepal. Why did you choose that part of the world to support?
There may have been many influences. First off, I was a principal in Vancouver in the inner city in the elementary schools, and a huge population of those schools is Asian. And so, and many other cultures, you know, for China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, all kinds of places. But I really fell in love with learning about other cultures. I also had the honor to be the principal of the school that had the choir that sang for the Dalai Lama when he came to Vancouver at the Orpheum. I've always been fascinated by Buddhism. And when we put that all together, our first trip was to Tibet. And we realized how much help was needed and we wanted to volunteer, but you can't volunteer in Tibet very easily because of the Chinese government. And then we're also hikers and we love the mountains. So the next trip was to Nepal and we ended up staying for 3 months because my husband doesn't like long flights. So if we're going to go, we have to go stay for a while. And it's inexpensive once you get there. So we just, after 3 months in Nepal, we just fell in love with the people. They are so kind and welcoming even when they have nothing. And we traveled just the two of us with a guide and porter. So we didn't spend time talking to all the other Westerners in the group. We got to spend time with the people of Nepal, the culture of Nepal. So
incredible. And
then, when I was by myself the next time, because my husband had ruptured his Achilles tendon, he couldn't go on the next trip. And I was getting to be 68. And I thought, you know, if I don't go now, I might never go. So I did go by myself for 3 months and I was volunteer teaching. And then at the end of the teaching stint, my guide took me to another village that had no assistance from the outside world. And I was the first foreigner to go to that village because it's way off the trekking routes. And they asked for my help. And I left feeling like an imposter. But when I came home, we started to think about forming a nonprofit. And then the earthquake hit Nepal in April 25th, 2015. And that village was at the epicenter and every home was ruined. The old school fell down around the children. four people were killed in that village. And suddenly we thought, no, we better do something. So we got going on forming the nonprofit. My husband Barry put a wonderful slideshow together, and we showed our first slideshow and made $1,000 by donation that first night. And then my Rotary Club got involved. And then, you know, 3 years later, we had a school built for 8 classrooms. And then a Japanese group joined in. And now we have kindergarten to grade 10 for 350 students. But they have nothing, no supplies or anything. So, of course, we're still working on fundraising and helping. And so this week we're sending money to build 2 houses as well.
Oh, that's incredible, Patty. When was the school built then?
The new school was built 2018, was completed. Right. And they just got electricity put in. And my Rotary Club, Kalamalka Rotary in Vernon, BC, has sent enough money. So last year they put in 17 computer stations and lighting in the school and a Montessori kindergarten.
Which that's incredible.
Well, it is incredible because those kindergarten children had not one thing. So it's pretty amazing.
What are you still needing for the school at this point? Supplies or what?
Always need books. Yeah. One of the high school Rotary clubs in Vernon sent me with $1,500 when we went in 2017. And I spent a couple of days in Kathmandu buying books, and still, you know, drop in the bucket. Compared to what I used to have as a grade 2 teacher, my classroom collection, not the school library, just my classroom, I would have, you know, a couple of hundred books. So there's so much that can be done still. And they also need to have a kitchen and some dorms, because some of the kids coming to grade 9 and 10 will come from other villages. And it's, you know, 3 or 4 hours walk. So they need to stay for the week.
Oh my goodness.
I'd love to see a medical post too. So there's lots to be done.
Yes, it sounds like you're going to accomplish lots too. And you're preparing right now, you and your husband, correct? For trekking in Nepal again. And when do you leave?
Probably start mid-August 2023.
Okay.
And it's to do the Great Himalayan Trail, which is one end of Nepal to the other. It's 1500K.
Sounds very daunting. Is it going to be for you?
I don't think so. There's a high route and a low route. We've done quite a few of the high passes, so we'll do the low route. They say it takes 3 months. We're going to allow 5 months because we're not 12 anymore. And, sure, it's daunting when you think about it, but it's just one step at a time.
Is this fairly uncommon for folks your age to be doing something like this?
I guess.
Trekking like this.
Yeah, but the last trek we did was in 2017. It was called the Manaslu Circuit, and we did a sidetrack into the Sum Valley. I think we were walking for 25 days. And that's over incredible. The high pass was 17,600 feet. But it's just, you just take it one step at a time and one day at a time. Of course, we're going to be training lots of cross-country skiing this winter, lots of hiking in this fall. And we live at a little bit of altitude, which helps. Our house at Silver Star Mountain Ski Resort is at about 6,000 feet. I guess that helps a little. I don't know.
Okay, so you share your time between the Frontenac, South Frontenac, and British Columbia, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Right, right. So you're quite active on this side of the world, you know, raising money and everything for Nepal in preparation for your trip in August.
Yeah.
Now, your previous called Nepal One Day at a Time. You wrote that in 20. It was published in 2020. Mm-hmm. This book, Grounded by Granite, it was the background for that book about Nepal?
It's funny. I wrote the Nepal book first, and then people would keep asking me, so how'd you get to be the kind of woman who at 68 would go somewhere to Nepal for 3 months and volunteer and go trekking for a month? And then I thought, I guess maybe that's why I do it, because I grew up on an island. And I mean, we were outdoors when we lived in the city in the winter too, but really it's the the resilience, you know, and the strength I got from being here, I think that have allowed me to do those things, being here on the island. So it's kind of a prequel, but mm-hmm. written after. And then the next book will be Nepal, It's Never Too Late, Trekking for People Over 50. So other people can get out there and do it too.
That's incredible. You're a real inspiration.
Oh, thank you. You know what? You said privilege before, and you're right. I have been very privileged to live on this island, to have been raised in a, you know, in a family where mom and dad spent a lot of time with us. I have a great brother and sister and a wonderful extended family. There's a real feeling when you're a Shales at the end of Shales Road, you know, it's.
I bet it is.
Yeah, it's real solid.
You're very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you wanted to say that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, I just encourage people to get out there and live their dreams, you know, and also to volunteer. As I said, you don't have to go halfway around the world to volunteer. You can do an hour a week somewhere in your own hometown. And I think it makes a huge difference. I always also encourage parents to spend time with their kids, read with their kids. When kids come to kindergarten, you know when the parents have read with them. It's really important. Doesn't matter what language either. It's just a way of sharing books together. And I might just mention that Grounded by Granite is on sale in Perth at the Book Nook on the main street.
Okay.
So you can, I mean, it's online. If somebody wants it as an ebook, they can get it that way on Amazon, but you can order it through any local bookstore as well.
And where can we find out more about you?
Oh, on my website. That would be www.pattyshaleslefcoast.com. And that tells all about my background, other writing, other travel adventures, and certainly more about the Nepal One Day at a Time Society and what we're working on with the school.
And you're also on Facebook?
Yes. Yeah. As Patty Shales Left Coast and also as Nepal One Day at a Time.
Okay. That sounds good. And Left Coast is spelled LEFKOS. Patty, PATTI, ShalesLeftCoast.com. Okay. Patty, thank you so much for this. I have to say you are a real inspiration, and I've really enjoyed it. I know our listeners will too.
Thank you. You know, I've been blessed with good health, so I hope it continues.
I'm sure it will. So best of luck on your trek with your husband in Nepal. And if you're looking for donations, are you, for the school?
Mm-hmm. Always. Yeah.
Okay. And they can get in touch with you on your website for
through
that.
My website.
Too. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us today, Patty.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And take care. Patty Lefkos is the author of Grounded by Granite. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.